Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Black Impact. We are back with the second episode, Codependency Part 2. I have a lovely guest with me here by the name of Walt. Hey, everybody, give applause out to Walt for coming on. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Today's episode, we're going to talk about Codependency Part 2. So my first question for Walt today is, what is your preference on codependency?
Preference. What do you mean by that? Like preference?
Like when you think of codependency, like what do you think about?
What comes to mind?
Yes, what comes to mind when you think about codependency?
Essentially relying on someone or something to like fulfill you. You always feel incomplete as a person. And you relying on other people or things to make you whole. And you can't really, it gets to a point to where it's like you don't even realize your self-worth. So you'll be doing stuff that goes against your worth, you know what I'm saying, for the sake of pleasing whoever you're with. So you don't feel alone, you know what I'm saying? You always need something or someone. So that's just a little take on what I think codependency is.
Yeah, when you say you don't really know like yourself.
No, I was saying that essentially I feel like codependency is when you rely on someone or something to fulfill you, to bring you validation, because you don't really understand. You don't have an identity really established. So you outsourcing for identities or identities you think that's going to suit you, that fits your mold, so to speak. Like, you can't really do anything without someone or something.
Not knowing your self-worth or basically knowing who you are, depending on, you know, other people for...
Validation. For life, essentially. Because you don't feel alive without other people or other things.
Right.
You don't have a purpose. You're just solely relying on... Even if it hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're in a relationship that you know isn't beneficial for you anymore, and mind you, every situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're codependent, you'll literally stay there and
just
deal
because.
With everything because you don't want to be alone. Or if,
right.
if you let go of this person, you're going to miss out on this thing that fulfilled you for so long.
Right.
You know?
But I want to know, like, why do we stay in situations like that? When we know it's not good, like, why we just can't leave? Why can't we have enough strength that will build us up to, like, walk away if we know that that's not serving us, right? Like, why do we always fall into that comfortability of staying and not being able to get up and walk away from that?
That's a good question. I think it's different for everybody. I think me personally, from my experience, we don't really, it's because I was codependent as a mug. You hear
really?
Me? It was bad. Yeah, man. Listen.
What made you codependent?
Not having an identity in the beginning, you know, like growing up, not knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you still don't know, or that's why I said everything, when it boils down to it, like God is the way, the truth, and the life. But
right.
God is literally the way. Because if you don't have an identity in the beginning, you're not going to have one when you get older. You're still going to be repeating the same cycle
right.
that you repeated as a child. You're just going to be older now doing it, not realizing how much detriment you're doing to your own mental health. Because when you're supposed to be growing and
right.
figuring out who you are, identifying, you know, your purpose, you're just sitting there spinning your wheels, wasting time.
But why do you say, like, you felt like you didn't have identity, like, when you were growing up? Like, what makes you identify yourself?
It's about to be, I'm gonna say this to preface it, because we humans, we can't identify, we operate off of emotion.
Right.
We think our heart, going with our heart, is a good thing.
Right. And it's
wicked. Our hearts are very deceitful, because we allow our heart to manipulate us into thinking that we're pursuing a good thing instead of going to a source. That's why I said you need a source,
right,
in order to know what to do and where, so you can figure out where you're going. You can't just think, oh man, you know, I'm sad about this, so I don't. And you're operating based on your preferences, honestly.
But what if you don't have a source? How do you, like, what do you go off if you don't have anything?
It's a great question. Something that I did, I tried to have conversations with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been some things that my woman, you know, identified that I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
So I would reach out to other people. Mm-hmm. And ask them, like, hey, you know, have you ever seen this from me? You know what I'm saying? Just so, right, I can see how I am in other people's eyes.
Is that validation from other people, though?
It is.
Do we have to identify ourselves by people identifying who we are?
Not necessarily using their, like, acknowledgement as a sort, as a sense of validation, but just seeing what they see. Like, because 50
their
people can tell you. Yeah, because if you ask 50 different people, like, hey, what do you think about me?
Mm-hmm.
They might tell you 50 different things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 50 different sources of information that you have now. And you,
right,
can say, all right, well, I know that's not me. You know what I'm,
mm-hmm,
saying? Or that is me. It just gives you, you know, further, you know, breakdown about who you are in the eyes of other people. Not using that as validation to make yourself feel credible or worthy, but just... like a teacher, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are kind of like our best teachers, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of God, God gave us people to,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
So, like, people are our best teachers. So, just taking whatever information you get from people, you know, how they feel about you, and just try to match it up to what you know about yourself, being real with yourself. Not just saying, oh, they just feel like that because of X, Y, Z.
But what makes you really know who you are? Despite of other people's opinion.
Mm. Getting deep.
Yeah,
getting
like deep. How you know who you are. Is it just because of the stuff that you like? Maybe you only like it in that moment.
Exactly.
So what defines you as, you know, this is you? But by you repeatedly doing something over and over?
And that's insanity. That's insanity.
So, like, how you define yourself, like?
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you what I did. And it worked. It's still working because it's an ongoing thing. It's,
yeah,
a lifelong process. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna just start following God, you know,
yeah,
one day and then that's it. You know,
right,
it's really like a practice.
You, right,
gotta do this every day. So what I did was I sought God and I just started to, like, he put people in my life to where as though they could kind of help me in that walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I'm still, you know, on my personal walk with God, because we all need our own personal relationships with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But that helped me a lot, because a lot of situations I would normally respond to with anger,
mm-hmm,
I respond to with understanding. And it might upset me that this thing is happening, but I have to understand why it's happening and then why it's upsetting me so much. But it's like, it took for pain to help me understand a path. And then it took the path to lead to my purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
That's seeking God. I definitely agree with that. My shirt says
God is dope.
So that's my number one source here. Okay. I feel like if you don't navigate out of God, like, I don't know, that my preference. I don't know what everybody else does, but, mm-hmm, I feel like if I don't move with him, ain't nothing gonna move.
Hey, ain't,
okay,
nothing moving.
Ain't nothing moving. I don't care what nobody say, yeah, when it come to me. I don't know what you do, but with me.
Yeah, that's the truth.
My preference of how I identify, like, who I am and, you know, that, how I identify myself is without other people, like, giving me validation of myself, is, you know, just sitting with myself and trying to figure out, like, who I am, like, what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, you know, that moment, but just overall period, like, who I am, what do I got going on, or, like, what drives me to be, you know, who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, I I listen to what people say and piggyback off of that. But sometimes when it comes to that, I found it in myself. Like, when certain people say certain things about me, like, I kind of like brush it off. I'd be like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, I realize it, but it's like, oh, you realize that too? Like,
yeah.
Just because you realize don't mean that it's going to define me. Like, I already know that about myself.
Right.
But I know that about myself because I sat with myself. And also, I feel like I had to think about what I wanted to be in the world.
Mm.
So I think that, ties into, my self-image or whatever, or how you define yourself as who you are or whatever.
Amen.
But I do think that we seek a lot of validation from other people and let people put them definitions on us instead of learning ourselves.
Yeah. The only voice that matters is God's.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, whatever people say don't really matter. It's just good to know, like, who you're around. Because that's the whole thing. Like, you ask somebody, hey, what you think about me? You get to see how they feel about you.
Right. Right. You got to look at them in every, every way.
Yeah. And it can't be from a judgmental place because we can't judge nobody. But just, just tell me, when I do X, Y, Z, does that annoy you in a way?
You got to be open to receive that.
Yeah, and it's not
easy. Because what if they tell you some stuff that you don't agree with?
Yeah.
You got to be open to receive that. It's, criticism.
Yeah.
Open criticism. A lot of people ain't accustomed to that.
Nah, it's hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard because insecurity plays a part in that.
Yep.
And you're sitting there trying to figure out, like, dang, and this person said this and this about me. The whole time they write, you just don't have any accountability. It's like, but no, insecurity though, like people not open to criticism because they don't have any accountability and they kind of insecure. It takes for a person to have both of that to really sit through some constructive criticism. Because people telling you about something you really don't want to hear. You're open to them being honest with you or truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt.
Yeah, that do hurt.
Be like, dang, that's how you feel?
Yeah, that's how you see me?
Yeah. Yeah. But if you know you're not like that.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, I know that's cat.
Right.
But I appreciate you, though.
Yeah.
For letting me know.
Right. I feel like insecurities play a major factor in being codependent.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, that person that you're codependent on, those insecurities that you have, you're trying to feel that in them, in that person or them people.
Yeah.
I
see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
So, yeah, I'm still thinking.
We building, y'all. This is real constructive.
Yeah, like being I don't per se feel like that I'm codependent on anyone. They might be codependent on me.
Mm-hmm.
I might have something that they need to feel, whatever, but I don't feel like I'm
for sure.
But I want to say, I was watching a video today actually, and then someone was talking about how codependency is not real because we are made to depend on people because that's why God created us. Like, if we sat there and didn't depend on anyone, what would we get in life? How would we grow, But I feel like it's also like a double standard because it depends on how you depend on that person. Are you dependent on that person for a negative outcome or like a positive outcome? Because if you're depending on that person to help you elevate and grow and move forward in your life, then that's good. But if you're depending on them in like a negative way and it's not helping you, prosper in life, then, that's when that toxic trait, starts the circling of codependency,
Absolutely.
But I don't think codependency is a bad thing. I just think that it just depends on how you are and what, like, how you are in life and, what are you moving towards?
Yeah. Yeah. So now I get that. I do want to say that, because I agree to a certain extent, like we are mm-hmm. supposed to depend on people to a certain extent. However, first we must depend on God.
Yes.
And then God will put the people in our lives that he needs for us to
depend on.
To do, you know, what he needs us to do. Because right. like we can't depend on people because we put an expectation on people. And when we expect something from somebody, we only expecting that because in our mind, that's how we would do it.
Hmm.
But if they don't live up to the thing that you anticipate,
yeah.
it's going to disappoint you.
Right. But see, that's when you're not supposed to have an expectation on someone. You're supposed to just like, you know, ride it out.
Understand where they are.
Yeah.
And see if it need to get better or, yeah. but nah, people, cause everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
In some way, form, or fashion. And the more people start talking about their pain mm-hmm. from a place of really wanting to understand, not victimization.
Yes.
Not, you know, deflecting, placing the blame, saying, mm-hmm. oh, you made me feel like this, or right. you did, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like really taking responsibility for your actions.
Right.
Your mindset, everything, and be willing to say, all right, I need some work. But that takes
a lot to take accountability, to be able to listen to that and not be able to just react on what they saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, that take a lot of work to do that. I mean, a lot of people are not doing it. And maybe they are, but I want to say 70 out of 100 people.
Probably.
Percent, say.
You might be giving it more than.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Might be a little less than that. Like, for real. I think, like, we're just going to throw percentages out here, but I think at least 99.9% of people who watch this are mm-hmm. experiencing codependency.
Yep. I believe that's probably true. Yeah, they probably are.
In some way, form, or fashion. Whether it's a person or a thing or, you know, something outside of you.
Yep, I think so too.
Sucks, but. So it's like some actionable steps to really like overcome that though, or just to help yourself acknowledge it. Number one, God, in my opinion. I'm going to say it's my strong opinion for the sake of people watching God. This video.
Seeking God with yeah. everything.
Seek ye first the kingdom. Y'all stop playing, man. Turn to God. Because listen, nothing else works. Everything is temporary.
Yeah, for sure.
Everything outside of God is temporary.
Yeah.
Everything. You can come up with a master plan on how to become a better person by next year. You can, you know, write books on how to become, you know, you know, how to find your love and your partner for life and all this other stuff. But if it ain't come from God, it ain't gonna last.
That's true.
So
that is true.
I think a lot of time we looking for our thing in everybody else without going to God first. Because we think we not supposed to lean into our own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to acknowledge God, trust God, acknowledge him in all our ways. So if we thinking that we can find the people for us, we're misleading ourselves because we don't know.
Right.
Only God knows. That's why relationships, you know, be toxic.
Yep.
Or they don't last as long as they should last.
I be feeling like people know, like, though they just don't be, they just ignore a lot of things. But we be knowing.
Why you think that is, though?
Why we ignore?
Mm-hmm.
Comfortability. Like, we be so comforting. Certain things, codependent, that plays, you know, it's codependency. Like, we are comfortable with a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. Why we settle for a lot of stuff that we don't deserve.
Mm.
Won't be wanting better. We say we want better for ourselves, but we really don't because we be so fixed on certain things that be happening. We just allow stuff to happen.
Yeah. Which sucks.
Yeah, I have done it in the past. I ain't doing it now. I mean, yeah. I've grown to you know, get out of
like that. You got boundaries.
Yeah, like I had, but it's either when it comes to boundaries, like I feel like when people talk about boundaries, they talk about boundaries to the point where they have to tell that person their boundary. The boundary is not made for you telling them. The boundary is made for yourself.
Yeah.
For setting that for your that standard for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to tell them, of course, that's fine. But
I mean, essentially, what you tell them for?
Right. It's like, because it's like you telling them your boundaries is only for you for them to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. So, you like know, I might do this thing.
Right.
So I'm telling you my boundaries. So right. If you try to so do you, it.
Exactly.
Like, come on. You ain't really got boundaries.
Right.
You know.
So but it's yeah, really yeah. holding yourself accountable of your own standards. That's what the boundary is for. Like,
yeah.
If so they cross that line.
Tolerate.
Yeah. If they cross that line with you, then you already know how to navigate and move from there.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. So. That's what I always believe in boundaries. Like with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. Because yeah. people will go as far as you let them go. But if you don't establish those boundaries for yourself, then
exactly,
you know you can't. What you moving off?
Yeah, essentially. That's why people be because I was like that too, you know, not really having boundaries to where as though I allow stuff that I would never allow, and I made excuses for it because I love you. What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
And I'm pretty sure on her side it was the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But. I think what'll help is, God, like both people really, it take a lot of work for both people to be on the same page. Being fully accountable, though, it's a difference between being on the same page as far as, oh, how many kids you want, what kind of house you want, kind of car you want,
the
kind of job.
Surface stuff.
That superficial stuff. It's cool. It's good. But at the end of the day, like, what does the internal look like?
Yeah.
The stuff that's going to last.
Right.
Because I can... You know, I can get out of this thing, and jump into another thing, and feel like materialistically I ain't got to struggle no more. Mm-hmm. But internally, I'm suffering still.
Yeah, I don't think people really like even think about that work to put in for that. Mm-hmm. They just so fixated on the aspect of the relationship, but they don't really like deep dive into that growing and. That work it takes to be in that.
Yeah. I think for real, because it hurts so bad because you got to tear yourself down. You got to literally, like, rebuild from the foundation on up. Because everything you learn up until that point of you realizing it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what do? Do you just pick up where you left off with a better understanding of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just scratch everything and start over? What's easy? What's better? What's easier is just picking up and, you know.
Yeah.
But the hard part is really tearing everything down.
And building it up again.
You know?
Yeah. I'll be doing that.
A lot of tears, man. A lot of tears.
A
lot of tears. Men cry. For sure.
That's a good thing, though. Because a lot of men ain't... You guys are not vulnerable. You guys are... I don't know about you, but I know... This is the thing about guys. They're not vulnerable. They're not in touch with their emotional side. I mean, nowadays they are. They're a little sassy, okay?
That's different. That's different. No disrespect to nobody who may be a little sassy, but that's different.
But no, now I feel like a lot of guys are more vocal. They're more emotional. Like they're leading with emotions now. Like, They coming out a little bit. I feel like the guys that women are dating, they're telling them, right? Mm. It's just the fact that we're not listening. We are listening to, what am I trying to say? We're listening to, we're listening in that moment, but we're not grasping like what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Not grasping the whole thing, like,
yeah,
which is understandable too. What happens?
Because that's how we put ourselves in these situations that we be codependent on. Mm-hmm. Because that person probably told you some stuff that'll trigger your insecurity, and
you just want to hear it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we just don't be listening, but y'all definitely be talking and telling us.
I appreciate but you not for all saying of that. Them. Yeah, because I was vocal at some point about how I felt.
Were you though? So I'm not. I'm just
nah, but really, was I? Like, I don't know. I mean, as far as I could tell at the time, I was being vocal. Mm-hmm. I was saying some stuff that I didn't normally say about my feelings, how mm-hmm. I felt.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And depending on who's receiving it, they can look at it as like, all right, well, he must need something in this moment. Like, how can I help? Mm-hmm. Or somebody can look at it like, I ain't trying to hear all that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, dang.
But it also depends on what part in their life, you know, were you in at that moment, because they probably wasn't receiving it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. You know, they wasn't probably reciprocating your feelings because they probably were in a different season, you know?
Yeah.
So that's probably, maybe.
Yeah, it's all hypothetical. Yeah. We don't really know. It's just, you know, observing and trying to put things together as we go. We're getting closer to the answer because it's really simple. I just feel like.
I do think it's simple.
It's really simple.
I just think that we don't be paying attention. We don't really be listening. We just be responding. We don't really put the time in and do the work for ourselves. We just let the world, like, make decisions for us, or let other people make decisions for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, we stay in certain situations because of, you know, validation from other people.
Yeah. I pray for us all. I mean, I know.
That was so sad. I pray for us all. We're so doomed.
Yeah, like we're doomed. It's over, folks. But no, it's a serious thing because, like, you know, you got people who may think that they're happy. Well, happy, that emotion is fleeting. Like, happiness mm-hmm. is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
But they think they're happy. They think they're joyful in whatever they got going on. But they suffer just as much, and they probably don't say anything because they want to maintain that image that they have for themselves. Like, all right, I'm in a better place now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really not. They thought they were. You know what I'm saying? It all boils down to the individual. And that's why it's so hard, because it's a lot of individuals mm-hmm. out here. And a lot of individuals think they need to be in everybody's face.
Mm-hmm.
Popular, you know, they need to be validated.
Yep. So I mean, I feel like the world puts that on our back from the beginning. We have to be validated from, look at how our ancestors were treated back then. Mm-hmm. In slavery, the lighter person was able
to access the house.
Yeah, what they called. I'm going to have to move this out.
House people.
Okay. We'll leave with that.
Yeah. House people, right? Because whoever watches it knows. They got to know.
You know, so, and you know, there were house people.
Mm-hmm.
But the darker person had to be outside in the field, you know, mm-hmm. cleaning after the house people kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, making their meals and stuff like that. They didn't have the privilege to, like, be in the house, you know, because the people put that standard on their back.
Yeah.
Made it seem like they wasn't good enough. They wasn't worthy enough to be in the house to get, you know, those
access
warm,
to the
hot
master's
meals
privileges
and being in that bed and stuff like that, you mm-hmm. know, to even own anything.
Right. You know?
So I feel like it stems from way back in the day, like the things that we had to go through. And then once we moved past. Once we moved past that, then we came into, like, how the world we are in today,
mm-hmm.
and still them people putting it on our back that how we have to be good enough to have an education, or, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
a degree, a type of job, of, you know, the people, you know, just in, you know, in general, like, these people make us feel like we're not worthy of certain things. And I just feel like that's not fair. That's why, but that's like, we coming up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So God told us not to focus on things of this world, and focus on things that's above. Because if we focus on the stuff that goes on in the world, we'll be so caught up in the world.
In the world.
It's a big distraction. Yeah, it's a big distraction. Like, people still use what you just said as an excuse not to do better.
That's so true. Because
they feel like they're holding me back.
Back, yep.
But they're not holding you back.
You own yourself back.
Exactly. But you think that because they set up this system that you can't succeed, but you can.
Right.
So you just blaming them because you don't have the drive to make it happen, or the purpose, the will, whatever you want to call it.
You talk about purpose. How do people figure out like what their purpose is? Like, you don't really know. I'm saying for Great myself, question. Like, I don't really, I feel like I'm in my purpose now. Mm-hmm. But before, I don't even think I was on it. I was just living life.
Yeah.
By day, you know, not really thinking about that. But now I feel like, I don't know, something changed for me.
Yeah. Like, it clicked. It's like, huh?
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like I'm on my journey to my purpose now. But how do people even figure out, like, what's their purpose? Because sometimes you feel like you want to do something in life, but sometimes
that might not be the
way to go, you know? They not be the thing. So how do you even, you know, go
find
to
your
that
purpose? I honestly can't tell you. Only thing I can tell you for sure is that God helped me find mine. And I feel like it's not even my, like, the full picture. I think it's just an aspect of what I'm supposed to do once I reach that point. You know what I'm saying? So I just take everything, like, the experiences that I have. So I like talking.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was never like this. I was shy.
Really? When did you come out of that?
When I started learning about sales, like, because I sold cars before, too. It wasn't long.
I thought you was about to say when I started my spiritual journey.
Oh, no. No, I was talking. I was very talkative before that. See, God was taking, it was baby steps, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I sold cars for a little bit, and that kind of sparked my interest in sales.
Okay.
So you got to be able to talk
if
you're a salesman. But that helped with everything else. Because now we're here having a conversation about codependency, you know?
Yep.
I wouldn't have opened up if I was still, you know, in that same mindset that I had like a year ago.
Do you think because you went through the things that you went in your relationship that triggered your codependency, it, you should say do you think you had to go through those certain things to be able to be the person that you are?
No,
because you could skip that route.
You, like, can't skip that. That's pain. Everybody need to go through a certain level of pain to where it breaks you. Like, when you're crushed, when God crushes a man, that's when he's building them to become great.
So you don't feel like, do you feel like that's the only thing that broke you in that?
I felt like that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the thing that was on the surface, but it was so much that played into that as to why that didn't work. So that cracked open the ground for everything else that I was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It just opened up that door to everything. And that's when I was able to go down that proverbial rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And really see what was what. Because there's a lot of stuff I didn't even know existed.
Really?
Like, even stuff I thought was normal.
Like what?
Just, like, I was an ice cream guy, right?
What's an ice cream guy?
No, I like ice cream.
Oh. So, I'm like, what's the ice cream guy?
But no, look, I like ice cream. So sometimes I was a little selfish with ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Because my woman would get ice cream, and she'll be sleeping, and then be one night, like, dang, I want some ice cream.
Oh, you were trying to hold it for yourself?
No, I would actually eat it, and then I'll tell myself I'm going to replace it, which my intention was to replace it.
Wait,
however,
oh.
I didn't. That wasn't even the whole thing. The whole thing was the mindset that I gathered before I even touched the ice cream. Me thinking that it was okay to eat something that she got for herself.
Oh, you was eating her ice cream?
Yeah, I ate her ice cream. Yeah, man, it was terrible. Because I already know if somebody ate my ice cream, I'd be blown. I eat some ice cream one time.
You was eating her ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. But it's something small like that. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I think my plan is better than her feelings? Like, in this moment. Like, because what if she got up and decided to get some ice cream mm-hmm. at the same time I decided to crack that thing open? Mm. And then I'd be, you know what I'm saying?
Like, why can't y'all share?
Yeah, see, we could. But, you know, that's another conversation. But right now, it's like, I got to wake you up to do all that. I'm going to get a little bit. But see, I wasn't even in that mindset at the time. I was very, in some ways, I was very, like, immature, very inconsiderate, very selfish.
Why you feel like you were, what made you that way?
I don't really know. I think part of it was like, I don't know.
You don't know what made you like selfish or inconsiderate?
Man, I don't know. It all stemmed from childhood. I was like, I ain't really like people playing my games.
Were you an only child? Games.
Nah, I got siblings. I'm the oldest.
I mean, you the oldest. That's where it came from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They always probably would take your stuff. Y'all always had to share. Mm. And when you...
It got to a point I was like, nah.
It's yeah. Mine. You don't want to share no more. Yeah. Because you're so used to sharing.
But it's crazy because I would act like that, but I was still expecting to share with me. Selfish.
Selfish.
And that stemmed, that rolled into adulthood too.
Yeah.
And people, like, it's so subtle, but it's something.
But it plays so a small. Big it plays a part. Big part. In your life, and like you just said, you didn't even know where it came from until I just said it. You didn't even think about it.
I didn't think about it at all. I just knew, you know, it had to come from there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't something I would just develop as an adult.
Right.
Just going to decide to be selfish now.
Right.
You know, but yeah, pain. If people went through a certain level of pain, mm-hmm. that'll help people like really transform or like try to begin. Because you can take that pain and actually grow from it. Mm-hmm. We can take that pain and, you know, become destroy worse yourself. From it. Yeah. So, yeah. It all depends on the person.
Yep, and it depends on you. What makes you, like, strong enough to fight through that pain to keep going?
Knowing you can't do it by yourself. And you putting that trust in God. So he's a comforter. Mm-hmm. Gives you rest, and it's gonna be hard because it's like this. Normally, as humans, we need something like physically present for us to feel security or comfort, like mm-hmm. because in our minds, it's like, all right, it's here. I can mm-hmm. hug it. I can touch it. Mm-hmm. I can hear something from you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I get it, but when I tell you, God provides, and that's.
Yeah, yeah, but what about the people who don't believe in God? Like, they, I do know.
Everybody some people, believe in God.
I don't think that is true.
I'm going to tell you why.
I don't think that. I have met people who have said certain things about, like, not being spiritual. Like, they don't believe in God. I want to say, I wouldn't call them an atheist.
Yeah.
I would just say, like, they just don't. Believe atheist, in that person. They don't believe in
something superior than them.
Yes.
Mm. Right.
But I be thinking like, how you think you got where you at?
Right. That's pride. How can you not believe there's a superior being out there more powerful than you? How can you think that you are it? When you got billionaires in this world who can look down on you and throw a billion on you real quick and crush you. And you sitting up here trying to make 30 an hour. But you talking like, you know.
That could be snatched from you in a minute.
In an instant. People got too much pride.
Yeah, for sure.
For God resists sure. the proud, but he exalts the humble. That's why I walk in humility, man. I've always been humble, though. Mm-hmm. Try not to be so proud, because you being proud, that means you think you did it on your own. Mm-hmm. You really did not. So everybody believe in God in a way. They believe in science. Science is the study of something.
Yeah.
Science studies creation. Who created the thing?
Right.
You know? You inhale every day. You don't get poisoned. Mm-hmm. You don't die. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Who did that?
Who did that?
I'm just asking for a friend.
Who did that?
You know, so